Yes, I found a night. I didn't know that. I almost did home on y'all, too. Show the tape, show the tape. Yes, sir. But then the last minute, the Lord told me, come. And then he wanted me to go from the cuff tonight without notes, because there's something particular he wants to say to us tonight. And so it took a man, a woolly man. Well, I don't know if you're a woolly man or not. I know it's a book that didn't come out of the church. It's not a Christianity book. Because, go ahead and sit down. We're going to have a night tonight. I somewhat always felt a little out of place. And it was my, turn to Psalm 63. It was my hunger and thirst for God, even among ministers. And here's what I find out. If you don't permit yourself to become obsessed with God, you're going to be average. So there's a place in God. Now, I asked God when I first got saved. I was about 25 years old, and I asked God, when I got saved that Saturday, I'd been out all night that Saturday night, and I got saved that Sunday morning. Yes, sir. And so that Monday, I know I had had an experience with God. So my question was, God, I don't want to go back out there, because I had seen a lot of Christians who was out there when I was out there as a sinner. And when I go after something, I go all the way. Yes, sir. And so I wanted to know how could this be done? I'm not going back. At that time, I felt the Spirit. I wasn't going back out there, but I know that everybody usually went back out. So I asked the Lord about that, and I said, Lord, I don't want to play with you. So what he did, he put me in the Bible that day. I never got out. Yeah. For every day up till today, wow. Spending more time with him than anybody else. Yeah. And so I felt awkward, because you can get in a conversation, and you talk, laugh, talk to one, then I'll go right back to the scripture in a few minutes. It won't be long, the conversation. Yes, I'm going back to the things of God. So, yes, so it took a secular man to show me what was happening in the fullness. He says he's obsessed with his business. And in making his business, he passed everybody else up. He's not average. Wow. And so a man and a woman, if they really want true ministry, they really have to become obsessed with God. Now, that is said to us in Mark 12. Write this down. We're going to look at Mark 12. Also said in Matthew 22 about loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Yes, tell us that all the law and all the prophet hangs on that.
Yes, sir.
And then the first commandment, God said, have no God beside me. And he don't want you to put no God before him.
Yes, sir.
And so it's actually the key to ministry is really falling in love with God. And then the anointing and the opportunities and the doors being opened, all that's come normally. Yes, as you just love him, hold on to him, and keep him first. Now you're going to have to ask for that. It's not going to come automatically, and you can get among hundreds of ministers and it's not there. Mm. Not that type of love, not that type of obsession for God.
Yes, sir.
Can't do without him. So the psalm is here, and it's climactic night. I'm just going to talk with you about some things. It says in Psalm 63, O God, thou my God, all right. Then he said, early will I seek thee. Mm-hmm. Well, I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You see, that type of hunger is powerful, but it is not normal.
Yes, sir.
I've been the church world a while. I know people love God. I'm not judging anybody, but I'm telling you there's some genuineness that you will never see.
Yes, sir. Wow.
Unless you cross the threshold of being different.
Yes, sir.
You follow me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If you accept the norm, that's fine. But you're gonna end up average. You're not gonna have the stuff like you should have it.
Yes, sir.
You almost, in this scenario, you're almost jealous yourself when you spend too much time with somebody else without saying something to him.
Yes, sir.
Now, he can build it in you. I know it.
Yes, sir.
So the psalmist seemed like he had tasted, "Oh, God, thou my God, early when I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Now, you can get close enough that almost church services are unsatisfactory. Because you got that 2-10 ratio in the church. 12 spies, remember? And you got 10 out of 12 seeing themselves as grasshoppers, even though they belong to God.
Yes, sir.
And it's not God's fault. It's that they didn't take enough time to get close enough to God. As I talked to you and all, I looked at some of y'all online student pictures on my desk. As I talked to you tonight, as long as you don't put God first in ministry, now, many times you're going to see yourself as a grasshopper.
Wow.
Because you're not going to have the anointing. You're not going to have the attention span. You're not going to have the closeness. You accepted the status quo, and you have not pressed in to get beyond the film that they have set in the church.
Yes,
and so the intimacy and the closeness and the presence of God is not with you as you would desire for it to be, because what you have chosen as your landmark is not really a landmark.
Wow.
So there's an unlimited relationship, fellowship, intimacy that you can have with God all day. Not just time for service,
yes,
but you're listening all the time what he has to say to you. It's almost unexplainable. I'm going to try to explain it some tonight, because that's what the Lord told me to do. I hurry up, got dressed. He said, go and share this last night from the cuff with the class.
Yes.
Talk to them about some things that they need to know. You notice the second verse. Now, the first verse prepares for the second verse. If that hunger and thirst not there, that's some power you're not going to see.
Yes.
To see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. You see that?
Yes, sir.
He says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Notice, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Look at verse 6 now. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul, verse 8, follow it hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. My goodness, that's a hunger there.
Yes, sir.
Now, Ephesians class, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 is what we started out with in this class. And the church needed so bad for ministers to be on cue or to be in tune or to step in the right rhythm, ministers, as leaders. It's not the fellowship, it's the leadership. There are people will follow. I was thinking about there's some people I got with me 30 something years. ain't think about going nowhere. And some of them way up in age, but they're still in good shape.
Yes, sir.
They're stuck with the word. They're stuck with it. When you look at the Apostle Paul, he was a man obsessed with God. Obsessed by God. And he showed us in the book of Ephesians, in Corinthians, Romans, he tried to minister to us. And that lesson in Ephesians where he called the fivefold ministry gift, grace gift out, he told us what our job was in the threefold standing, the verse 12, Ephesians 4:12. And then he said a multitude of things should be happening to people because of your anointing and because of your closeness to God and because of you being able to reveal certain things to them. It should put them in a position where they can defend themselves and that they have that divine assurance, even though like the boat is tipping, like it's about to turn over, but they also know even if it turn over, I come up with this the other day, and I think it'd be a blessing to you. I give it to my little granddaughter, and she hit a home run, actually in the game. Wow. What wow mean? Walking on water. Yeah, see. Yeah, wow. Walking on water, you see. Yeah. And so when the time come, when you seem like nothing happened, just say, wow. Yeah, because it's time to walk on water.
Yes, sir.
And see, very few. See, now I feel anointing now. Very, very few experience a real tangible anointing. You can have a make-believe anointing, but the Holy Ghost will come down. I'll tell you, I was at the tailor shop changing my wardrobe and dress a little different. And the Holy Ghost fell in there.
Wow.
Tangible anointing. I was just talking, and a tangible anointing came. Another preacher was there, and then the power of God came. But here Paul now described to us in 1 Corinthians 2. Go there. 1 Corinthians 2. When this setting began to hit you, yeah, 1 Corinthians 2, I think I'll look at that a minute, but something else came that I want to share with you tonight. So, you see, in my study, what one minister would do one time, I'll do it 10 times.
Right.
Yeah, he might pray one time for preaching. I might pray 10 times.
Yes, sir.
Because this is what I do.
Yes, sir.
See, I don't have no other agenda. Mm-hmm. Them boys can tell you, sometimes I go out there on the RV, and I'm trying to walk and talk, but I sneak back and get my Bible and hide away. And it's just a hunger. Now, that can be built in you. Now, don't feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
Because I'm happy. I'm free. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying there's an intimacy there. There's a closeness there that the average person will never see because it will cause you. You have to have a desire for it. But once you taste it, you'll never come back here. You'll never be normal again. The normal crowd will never affect you anymore. There's a place. That's why them two boys didn't see themselves as grasshoppers. They were them 10 spies. They had got somewhere with God that they had seen something that the other 10 didn't see.
Yes,
the other 10 still seeing themselves as grasshoppers. Boy, I said, we're well able. Let's go in and take it.
Wow.
And that's where we need to come to as a minister.
Yes,
but here, Paul, God gave me this. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is in this second chapter of 1 Corinthians. The first verse, Paul said, I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. Now, that's a problem there. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. Or wisdom. That's a problem because many have thought that ministry protocol is eloquence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From an academic standpoint, no, it's not by might, no, by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord.
Yeah.
So you got to remember that. Now, you don't want to try to just fake it like you don't know nothing to make people think you're deep, you know, but God want to use you with your talent and your ability where you are. Yes. Because if you bring a professor in there, he's going to mess you up.
Yes, sir.
You didn't understand it, did you? Yeah, you bring some type of academic solicitation or something in there, and he gonna throw you off because God about to throw a curveball,
yes, sir,
and you're going to have to be insufficient for it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
See, ministry is not based on sufficiency. It's based on insufficiency.
Yes, sir.
It's not based on ability. It's based on inability. See, that's and God looking for your inability. So you cannot mess up what he want to do through you because you got to totally rely on him because you know you can't do it. Got it? See, that, and that's why the Holy Spirit, the communion of the Holy Ghost and the comfort of the Holy Ghost and the conviction of the Holy Ghost begin to come together. See, the communion of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit start coming together. So you are pushing under conviction. You are rested. You don't mind being different. See, you got robbed. You got robbed. In one trip, you got robbed. And you ain't never got back. You got to fight to get back now. You were there. You were the first young man I ever seen was there. But you lost it in one trip because you let something get in your head. See, it's not in your head. It's when you're being led by the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
See, different. People want, why you got to stand up all the time? Why you falling out? Well, you were in another zone.
Right.
But people have a tendency, that zone make them nervous, so they offer you something else to pull you out. Because you don't have to do all that. Be normal like us.
Yeah.
Mess up sometime. Kick the table. Kick it over. Do something crazy. I'll be always with that Bible talking about Jesus, no matter how much I love him and all that shit, and then you get robbed. You get robbed. It's two out of 10, 2 out of 12.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, let me give you this to have under your belt. The first way he showed it to me is that the declaration of the testimony of God, you need to keep that before you. That's that first verse. Having godly evidence of God, of who God is, and you have a declaration, you have to make it your own. You can't declare what somebody else said.
Yes, sir.
Declaring to you the testimony of God, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb,
yes, sir,
and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to death. So that's a testimonial aspect in being anointed for ministry. Minister should be declaring God all the time, the way they walk, the way they look, everything they do. They're giving a testimony to God, giving evidence that because I'm here, God is here.
Yes, sir.
See, and I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to do nothing to tempt God. I don't want to do nothing to look like somebody else. I just want to be what God wants me to be, and I want God to be able to do what he want to do through me.
Yes.
No matter who turn around, who stop, or who think I'm too spiritual, who think that you don't have to go through all that. That's those persons going to come there. That's why they keep most Christian in I can't say the word too good, mediocrity. They keep me, huh? That's why most Christians never get to the meaning of who they really are, because they want to please somebody else. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Are you unique?
Yes, sir.
You're supposed to stand out, different than everybody else.
Yes,
you ever saw a peacock
with
his tail open? Wow. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, who won't be a bluebird when you can be a peacock? I saw a nice little blue bird, but peacock, man, will blow you out of the water. It's all like what Ron got on there tonight, that shirt and tie and stuff like that, and handkerchief, it blow you out of the water. And then the second thing, clients, you remember that you're always making a declaration, the first thing, of the testimony of God. You always, wherever you go, whatever you do. Okay. Secondly, he said, for I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now here's a declaration, here's a determination. Yes. You have to determine in your heart once and for all, the only thing that matters is Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the crux of the gospel. Yes. And Paul is telling you his victory here. Paul said, I'm not depending on me, I'm depending on Christ. He told you about the testimony of God, and he said, I'm determined not to know anything among you. Save, don't care what new fad come out. You know, it be charismatic, full gospel, word of faith. I'm going to stick with this cross.
Yes, sir.
You see, and that's where the power is. Right. Now, next 15, 20 minutes, you'll see the Holy Ghost come on me.
Yes.
And it's one of the reasons I come here tonight to demonstrate. Mine coming now.
Yes,
demonstrate the power of God.
Yeah.
It'll just come down on you. You continue glorifying him.
Yes.
He's real.
Yes.
He'd manifest himself. He will touch. He'll walk in the room where you are.
Yes.
And he'll minister to the people you're ministering to. They'll feel shivers in their body because they'll know they're in the presence of the living God. He comes, see, but the prescribed order of victory is faith in the cross.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And the reason the prescribed order of victory is faith in the cross, because it gives the Holy Ghost latitude of movement.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost cannot move without the blood.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost cannot move without the finished work of Christ.
Yes.
But before the finished work of Christ, the Holy Ghost wasn't here in this facet. Christ had to finish and wait for him to come.
Yes.
After I go, he'll come.
That's right.
And so what caused the Holy Ghost to move in your ministry is that you're focusing on the cross, which gives you legitimacy on earth to be in dominion.
Yes. Wow. Yes, sir. Wow.
Now, most ministers are not in dominion. They're good people. And they're preaching a good message, but they're not in dominion. Now, what you went through in this school, you should have some dominion on you when you leave here.
Yes,
not to dominate people,
yes,
but to dominate Satan,
yes,
and dominate situation.
Yes,
are you following me?
Yes.
There are so many average people. Average Christian. I just see them all the time. Just average. Just, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know.
Yes, sir.
I understand it. I understand it. You're praying in tongue, you know. You think you're praying in tongue. You think you're in the home of Jesus again, you know. No, there's a whole lot more than that, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, they want to prove their spirit, you know. Oh, man. But sometimes your life hollering. You're lying. You're praying in tongue. Your life hollering. You lying. See, because here we're talking about a manifestation.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
See? My goodness. Is it Galatians 6:20? Look at that, Galatians 6:20.
Yes,
Galatians 6:20. Is it 6:14? 6:20 or 6:14?
What? I'm crucified with Christ.
Yes. What is it?
That's Galatians 5:20.
No, it's another one.
6:14 said, "Through the cross I'm crucified unto the."
What anybody say about my glory? It's one by the glory, Ron. I'm trying to find the one by the glory. What? That's 6:14. That might be the wrong one. I got to find it now. Find it. What he says, "I glory except in the cross of Christ." What one that is? I thought it was in Galatians. We need to find that. Ma'am?
6 and 14.
6 and 14. Well, you were right, Ron. 6 and 14. Galatians 6:14. I said 6:20. Go there because you need to master this voice. Galatians 6:14. Y'all heard it?
Yes, sir.
Back, y'all heard it back in the back because I'm looking on the board now, but I can go to my Bible if I have to. But God forbid that I should glory except or save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world. See, not only do you need to be crucified. See, it brings me to my point that is really stirring in my spirit now about invention and creation.
Yes, sir.
And inventors and the creator. And we don't let invention startle us. We are mystified,
yes,
by internet and Instagram and chat and all that. We mystify. We're so happy with these type of communication and pulling ourselves further away from the communication of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But the Bible warned us that they will come, but unless a person is grounded and rooted in the love of God. I'm not talking about going sin now. I'm not talking about not sinning and sinning. I'm talking about not being where you should be.
Yes.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Some people are so proud. I don't do no sin. I ain't running around my husband. Then I ain't doing none of that. No, no. Yeah, but are you close? How close you are to God?
Yes.
See, we spend all our time trying to not sin.
Come on, Apostle.
Because that's the way we've been trained. But there's a place in God, in Christ, in Him, that heavens begin before you make your transition. Are you following me? And so, say that coming to school today probably was a duty to you to finish the class. But it should be more than that. I mean, I wonder what one of the instructors are going to say today. Hallelujah.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Getting me closer to God. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
that's where you got to come to. You got to come to that point. You're not going to be automatically be there because you're running around with so many routine people.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
You see it?
Yes, sir.
So not only do you have to be crucified to the world, but the world has to be crucified to you. Now, he says, our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. In other words, this world is not my home, but while I'm here, I'm going to own it.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to have dominion over it.
Yes, sir.
You follow what I'm saying? Because how can you read the biography of God, I think it is, in 1 Chronicles 29:10-12. How can you read that kind of biography and be a normal child? Go over there.
Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I preached about the Godfather yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want you to see this, because this man give us a description of how powerful we can be if we only get close to Him. Don't have to never go after nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
You quit. You can quit praying for things.
Wow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Cause you ain't gonna need nothing. Mm-hmm. Things start looking for you.
Yes,
sir. He said, "The blessing overtake you." Didn't He say that? Say He said in
yeah.
Deuteronomy 28.
Yes,
sir. He said, "If you hearken and obey My voice,"
uh-huh,
He said, "the blessing overtake you."
Okay.
Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that David do exceeding abundant above all that we ask to think.
Yes.
According to the power of the word, you ain't ask it, you ain't think it, He just give it to you.
Yes.
Intimacy.
Yes, sir. Intimacy.
Closeness. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. That's what I'm here for tonight.
Yes, sir.
I'm here to have an impact on your life about intimacy with God.
Yes,
how to get close to God. How don't let the crowd fool you that you spiritual. Because if the crowd saying you're spiritual, you're not.
Yes,
Because in order for the crowd to compliment you, you got to be like them. I bet them boys were so mad with them two boys. I'm just, we ain't going with y'all. I ain't no grasshopper. Said, why, you just got to be different. There's 10 of us over here. That's what the problem is. 10 of y'all over here. I'm going to ask you just to ask the Lord to let you experience it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. 6 or 7 days of your life, and you'll never go back. Yes, to norm, to average.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Sam old. Every day, he's fresh to me. Every day. I have no idea what he's going to do today or what he's going to say to me. I write all day long. I got paper all over my house. I got to write. He go to talking. My foot hit the floor. He start talking. Some things I'll never preach. My children will have it in the archive. I'll never get a chance to preach it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's why he sent you to the school. Yes, sir. He didn't send you here to pass.
Come on, Pastor.
He sent you here to stay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It's
good to have paper. I got paper, degrees, two doctor degrees, and master and all that. But no. That school didn't do it.
Yes, sir.
You follow me?
Yes, sir.
And when he looked like he gone, you know he not.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
So here we see in this 10th verse of the First Chronicle 29. They were doing a lot of giving, but I want you to see this. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. And go to Lamon Shokot Talayasha. Notice now. He give us a congealed insight of God. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness.
Yes.
Well, he is.
Yes, he is.
But until that intimate say come beyond just a sermon, mm-hmm.
Right.
When you receive your subpoena, I'm calling you up higher than the known, than the regular. It's personal. Two can't go through the gate at the same time. It's the narrow way and the straight gate. Broad is the way and wide is the gate that lead to destruction. See? It's greatness. The human side of you and the soul side, you still see some things that you don't like. But by the same token, you get back in your place.
Yes.
You know, you hide scriptures and he'll quote a scripture. He'll bring that scripture up in you. Mm-hmm. And then when he does that, he's calling you away from the crowd.
Yes, sir.
So you got to sneak away because he won't tell you something. Now, I know you all love God, and I know you all walk with God, but I don't know if you're there yet. And this night going to be a night to spark a hunger and a thirst in you. I want what Apostle was talking about.
Yes,
see what I'm saying?
Yes,
I know you all got a relationship with God. I know you all talk to God. I know you all love God, but it's See, is not normal. You follow me? All right, let me try to do this. That's on an hour, sir?
That's equal 45, sir.
My, that 45 blew away, boy. 11 minutes. I'm like, I've been up here no more than 3 minutes. But heavy hang over your head tonight.
Yes.
Because I believe he's calling you higher.
Yes, sir.
I believe he wants you to spend time with him and ask him, say, what was the apostle talking about? I love you. I say my prayer out in tongue. I've been reading the scripture. What is he talking about? I've been going to church. I've been fell out before. I've been run. I've been dance. What is he talking about? It's beyond all that.
Yes, sir.
I've heard great sermons beyond all that. It's there.
Yes, sir.
But very few will ever experience it on this side. Too much glamour.
Yes.
The glamour is pushing back the glory.
Yeah.
See, the world used glamour. God operated in glory.
That's good.
The world will give it to anybody, but God wouldn't.
Because
the world is whorish. But God is not. You got to want what he has. We have so many average ministers, just average. And average ministers make average Christians.
Yes,
sir. Notice the description in the 11th verse. Thou, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory. What's left? And the majesty for all that's in the heaven. And in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou exalted as head above all. And you can't get a car.
Yeah. My God. Yes, my boss.
Can't find your wife, can't find your husband, and here you got a God. What?
My God.
Both riches and honor come of thee. And thy reign is over all. Watch this now. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all.
Wow.
Now listen. Very few will have this opportunity, what I'm about to give you now. But I hear God says, come closer to me. Come closer to me. Let me show you a few more things. Let me show you some more things.
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
see, he's calling you in the school. You are there online. He's calling you to come closer to him. Spend more quality time with me. Now, when he says spend quality time, it's not your hour. It's quality time. He didn't say quantity. It might be 10 minutes this morning.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me tell you two or three things that may help you here. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, look there. There's two laws that I want to explain for you to understand. There's the law of attraction, and there's the law of distraction. The law of attraction is within. The law of distraction is without. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is on the inside of you. That's the law of attraction. That's what draw you to God and draw God to you.
Yes,
on the outside, deception and lies, doubt, worry, fear, anxiety is the law of distraction from your Godship on the inside of you. He's a distractor. So he can condemn you. You listening? Not about sin, condemn you about sins. God have handled your sin, but he can't handle your sin without you. You're going to have some sin, but you're going to have to handle them by confession and repentance after conviction.
Yes, sir.
Get back in contact with God.
Yes, sir.
Don't let him condemn you. He try to condemn you, you see. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
See, that's the way you stay clean.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's the way you stay holy.
Yes, sir.
That's the way you stay sanctified.
Yes, sir.
Not that you're perfect, but the perfect one in you, and you go back. You done got anger or something that happened, you just go back. Go back where you're supposed to be. No, then say that, leave that, forgetting the thing behind you now.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, go to the 26th chapter of Matthew. And the word here is watch and pray. Watch and pray.
Yes, sir.
Why? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, you're back inside and outside.
Yes,
okay. And when you watch and pray, Matthew 26, when you watch and pray, you're going to step into the will of God. Because you come to a point now, nothing else matter. And then you'll be able to see and you'll be able to understand what the enemy been using against you to keep you from that intimacy that all Christians want to have.
Yes, sir.
Everybody want it.
Yes, sir.
Want it. But see, people think they're spending hours and hours and crying out. No, that's not it. It's letting God position you where he can spend time with you.
Yes.
You get tired too quick. But he'll come and he'll begin to spend time with you.
Yes, sir.
See, I never leave you.
Yes.
Nor forsake you. Lord, I'm with you. Always. Even to the end of the world. Even when you're going through something, that's when God's more closer to you.
Yes, sir.
You follow me? Don't panic. Don't let your flesh, the outside, the enemy trying to make a lot of noise and distract you. Go back inside.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. Watch.
Yes,
and pray. Watch this now. Watch this. And he coming to the disciples and finding them asleep, said unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation.
Yes, sir.
Not that you're not going to be tempted, but you enter not into it. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When you're watching and praying, you're getting more in the spirit.
Yes,
he went away again the second time, praying, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it. Now look what he said. Thy will be done. He came and found him asleep again, for the eye was heavy. And he left them went on. But my point is watching and praying. You got that same thing now for ministry. I've done this over the years. There in Ephesians 6, it talks about the arm of God. That 18th verse, look at that 18th verse. That 18th verse, I talked about weakness, meekness, and boldness mixed together. Mm-hmm. Weakness, meekness, and boldness. Now we're back in 1 Corinthians 2 now too. But Paul said, I came to you with weakness, fear, and trembling. That wasn't a scary type of stuff. That was just an honor to God and a reverential fear he had and the insufficiency fear he had that you got to have for the Spirit to move in. All right? So it don't even like seem like the three should go together. Weakness, meekness, and boldness. Those three work together.
Yes, sir.
It seemed like they're opposite one another, but they're the makeup of one. But there's a lesson. There's a lesson you must study yourself. And I want you to study the fear of the Lord. Now, not many ministers have taught that, but it needs to be taught, the fear of the Lord. It's a respect. It's an honor. It's a placement of God that you put in your life nobody else can take.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he says a whole lot of things when I'll show you that. Let me show you that, and then I'll close. Turn to the 11th chapter of Isaiah and the 9th chapter. Because we're going to look at government, and we're going to look at the fear of the Lord. Those two powerful things that you need to know as a student and as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9 and Isaiah chapter 11 and Isaiah chapter 6. Just put them down. I may not get to all of them, but I want you to have them to study them yourself. In the 9th chapter, it talks about this government in the 6th and 7th verse.
Yes.
This government we're supposed to be operating under. Mm-hmm. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, right?
Yes, sir.
And you see, the government, now this is a spiritual government. It overruled every other government. Shall be upon his shoulder. And his name should be called what? Counselor. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. And then it revealed to us, notice the 7th verse, of the increase, nobody can stop it, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Nobody can stop it.
Nobody.
And no, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it,
order it.
Yeah, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. And so here we are. God want to use us to carry out this government. Go to the 11th chapter now. Now, there's something here you'll miss if you don't see it. In the first verse, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. All right. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, number one. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. You know what Jesus said in Luke 4:18, right? Huh? The Spirit of the Lord. She give us a shout of that in Luke 4:18. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge. Now look at this last statement in verse 2. And of, you ready? Notice what verse 3 said. It didn't talk about wisdom. Knowledge. It talked about neither one of them. No, he said, and make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yes, sir.
And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes,
uh-huh.
Not a reproof after the hearing of his ears,
yes.
But with righteousness shall he judge the poor.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
My goodness.
Yes, sir.
But I want you to notice that the fear of the Lord, in the proverb, if you study, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there's a lot of wonderful scripture on the fear of the Lord. It's not a natural fear. It's not a demonical fear. It's not a man fear. It's a reverential fear of the Lord that you have to have. But you notice he named all, I think, 7 or 8 spirits there, and he got the fear of the Lord last, and then Isaiah went right on and said, he said in the 3rd verse, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. So it's very, a lot of gates, a lot of doors, a lot of opportunities, a lot of privileges, a lot of blessings are open when one learns how to walk in the fear of the Lord. I'm about to develop on it now. I'm about to teach the fear of the Lord and the way of holiness together. Yes, that people know that you have to walk in the fear of the Lord to walk in the way of holiness.
Yes, sir.
It's so powerful, you know, because people say, God, no, God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Yes.
But it's a different type of fear. But of love, power, and sound mind. That fear, that got love, power, and sound mind in it.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, glory to God. You heard that?
Yes, sir.
he got love, power, and sound mind in that fear.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because you love the Lord thy God. One more scripture. Oh, my goodness. Isaiah 6. You're about to be called now. You get over there, you get... You have to have a genuine calling, you know. And some people may have to die in your life for you to get your real calling. Remember when he called Abraham? See, I want you to leave your family, Father. I want you to leave your daddy too, Father. Because I can't show you what I want to show you with all them. Now, he did me that, and I had a brother follow me. One of my brothers. I got 4 brothers. How many brothers I got? 4? 3? When I had 4, 1 died, 1 transitioned. But next to my older brother, I left my hometown. I had to leave because I was getting a call, sort of like Abraham. I went down to Gonzaga. I went down this subdivision where I am. I never been down there before in my life. I don't know about that. I just drove down there. I just drive. I left, and my brother looked at his wife. My wife and I had moved into our new house. We've been there 25 years now. And my brother said, Leroy, gone. See, we was on the Ponderosa. We all stayed right. My daddy had some land. We all stayed right next to each other. And he knew I was building a house. He knew everything. But then he turned to his wife and said, Leroy really gone. And then he decided he wanted to follow me. He ready to leave too. And show you how the thing worked now. He went and he saw a piece of land. You heard the story some of you. He saw a piece of land. And the man said, no, that's for my grandchildren. The man got a lot of money and a lot of land. He said, that's for my grandchildren. He said, what you say your name is? He said, my name is Roy Thompson. He said, you came to that preacher, Thompson? He said, yeah. He said, you can have it. And so my brother, who numerically is older than I in age, but didn't even think about that, came out and built him a beautiful home, got out of the Ponderosa, sold it and left it. Because he was following me. He'd have never thought about it if the Lord wouldn't have called me out. He'd have still been God. Now, him and his wife got a beautiful place out there in the open by themselves. Nobody to vex them. You know? When you see it, you got to lock on to it, man.
Yes, sir.
So in the year that King Uzziah died, and somebody said, as a Baptist boy preacher, that Uzziah had that boy's eyes tied up. The year he died, I saw also the Lord. Sometimes people get in your eye, you can't see the Lord. I saw also the Lord set up on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You see it?
Yes, sir.
Above it stood the seraphim, and each one had 6 wings. With twin he covered his face, and with twin he covered his feet. With twin did he fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, my goodness. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lip and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar.
Yes,
and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Watch this now. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Or who will go for us? Then said I, class, hear what he said? Huh? Here am I. Send me. You have to come to that point. You have to come willing to be separated, willing to let some people die out of your life who holding you back, who bring in little details in your life you don't need to hear. You know, just bringing up mess all the time.
Yes, sir.
And you were halfway anointed and took that half. And so just be mindful. Just be mindful who you let in your life, who you keep in your life. I love you so much. I know some of y'all are going to leave in graduation. I think y'all carried yourself tremendous as men and women. I had no trouble. You know, I check up with everybody about being late for my class or something like that. Overall, it had been a good semester, a good year. Y'all have done a good job, and I'm proud of y'all. And y'all be blessed. And we have that graduation. When that graduation is?
May 2nd.
May 2nd?
Yes, sir.
And who graduated? How you know? You sure I like you? I was talking to some young ladies today. Yeah, so I was going to tell you, I was talking to them. And certain things I want them to do a certain way. So I said, and I never think about that. I ain't thought. I said, you know, I'm the president of four companies. I'm the chief. I'm the CEO of Word of Life Christian Center, Ever Increasing Word. School of Ministry and LTMA.
Yep.
So y'all working for the president. I told my pilot one time, I told him get an ironing board. He hadn't come to know who I was yet or how I could. I told him I needed an ironing board. So sometime I would put my suit on ahead of rank, I won't get it out. So I said, Mitch, you got the ironing board? Oh no, sir, I didn't go get it. I said, then I saw some stuff on the floor of my plane. It wasn't clean. I said, all right, boys. I said, now, let me talk to y'all, both of y'all. I said, I want y'all to clean this plane like a white man plane. They understood what I was talking about. I'm talking to white men now. And I said, when I give instruction from now on, I want you to hear a white man talking. Because this ain't going to work. You know, and so I said to my girl, I said, Wasn't you happy when President Obama became president? You know, we were always happy, proud black folks, right? Amen, there's something to be happy about.
Yes, sir.
I said, yes, and I said, he stayed in there 8 years, right? I said, if you was working for President Obama, if he tell you to do something, would it be there when he get back? Oh, yeah. I said, well, you're working for him. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, y'all. Matt, graduation when?
May 2nd.
That's about 2 or 3 weeks off?
Yes, sir.
All right, class. I'll see y'all then. Yeah.